Hi. Gay is not sin, and Jesus isn't asking the gay person to change and be straight. That's right. The Bible doesn't condemn gays. I know a lot of you do. Times are changing now. It's kind of interesting to know a little bit about recent history as for the way gay Christians are concerned and what God is doing. A lot of people just don't want to, you know, concern themselves with that there are even such things as gay Christians. But people, here you are out here, and you're listening to me now, and you walk about your life, and you got this idea that there's no such thing as gay Christians and so forth. You got your head buried in the sand. You know, there is real life, just like the government is really doing things that's going to affect you. And it's going to come on you as a shock because you don't care, dude. You're just saying Jesus is going to protect you. He's not going to let you get into any kind of terrible situation, you know, that the tribulation talks about and stuff like that. You just think that it's just fun and game. We worship God till he comes. There might be a few little problems. We can get by it. God's not going to forsake us. You have this kind of an attitude, which isn't real at all. We got 2,000 years of showing there's been some pretty bad times for Christians, and God wasn't there to take you out of harm's way. You died. You got tortured. You got killed. You got slaughtered. All kinds of stuff over the past 2,000 years. But, you know, we got this attitude today that is commonly preached, that God is going to be with us and we're not going to have to worry about suffering too much. You know, we got a couple cars in the garage and a nice house and or whatever, you know, you're living comfortable, you've got a job and all that, and to varying degrees, life goes on, and you think this is how it will be, and when things get bad, you won't be here. Well, you have this attitude that you don't want to look to see what's happened. You vote for, now we got a new kind of terminology going on, blue states and red states. Well, red states doesn't necessarily mean that everybody there is redneck, because red states, you know, a lot of them were pretty close, you know, nearly 50-50, so at least 50% or so of most of the red states are blue. But anyway, the idea of that red is the redneck type of deal, which means that you just have this kind of attitude that if it's not like you, then it's sin. And that you don't care to look at who you vote for. Now, Kerry is also really bad. Did you know that? He is a skull and bones of the same order that Bush is. And he is also a 33rd degree level. That's the only reason he was able to run. Bush, though, is more pronounced. It's more widely known. I mean, we have documentaries that document details of his skull and bones connection. And skull and bones, along with the 33rd degree Mason, means you believe that Satan never fell, that Lucifer never fell and became Satan, and that Lucifer actually is God. Now, so that means we're looking at this man up here that's saying he believes in Jesus, he had some sort of experience, you know, and a lot of the red part of the red states of Christianity, because there's a lot of blue Christians too, but the red part really, all they heard was Bush saying he's a Christian, and that's all they needed to hear. You know, that's all you need to hear is Bush is a Christian, and you believe it. Instead of doing what God said to do, study to show yourself approved, you know, if we're going to be voting for candidates and everything, we should know a little bit about the candidate. And you would find out that Bush, yes, worships Lucifer. And he's got plans and supporting, if he doesn't or is not able to fill it, to kill Christians. I mean, there's some 800, maybe much more than that number of FEMA camps that can hold even up to hundreds of thousands of people. This is mainly to kill Christians. And the guy in office right now plans this. It's just part of his goals. And if somehow he doesn't do it in this second term, gonna be somebody. These camps aren't sitting there for nothing, but you as Christians should study. What would it be like if Christians really did do their homework on candidates that run for president? You wouldn't be sitting there so nice, you know, I want to elect Bush because he's anti-gay. And so that, you know, the theme that we hear now in the news all the time is Bush was elected because there were so many extra Christians voting this time that were of the red category, that the theme was morality, because you think that gay is sin, and so that's sexual immorality. And so this is one of the themes, one of the main points, because you don't want this gay marriage thing. So you are saying to yourself, you're going to vote for Bush because he's against gays, and so it doesn't matter what else Bush stands for. Yeah, you might talk about the war in Iraq, you might talk about some other kinds of stuff, but that's your main push. Your main push is the morality. You're going to call the news media liars? Well, they are, but that's beside the point. The thing is that is the theme that we hear throughout the land, is that this is a moral issue. You know, I'm driving the car down this street, down that street, whatever. There's a church there. And you know how they have the placards out in front of the church? And they have the little thing saying what the sermon's going to be about this time, and when the Sunday service is, and when the main service is, and midweek and stuff. And what's across there? Morality. Hey, I'm just about 58 years old, and I've driven around a lot of streets, seen a lot of churches, and sometimes you see little signs that they're going to condemn gays somehow, but now, you know, we got this morality. This is a theme in the news you hear when you go around to different churches, when you flip on Daystar or TBN or any other kind of Christian type of network or television program, you got this theme going on now because you're hot, you're moving with it, morality. Because in your mind, morality means gay is sin. A little bit of an abortion thing in here. That's fine. For the record, you know, abortion is murder. There could be some exceptions due to circumstances, but abortion is murder. Don't care what anybody says. You know, it's not like one of the things that people that condemn gays say, they say all gays think are for pro-life type of thing or something like that. It doesn't matter, you know. How they work it out. The person's going to make a decision in their heart to kill somebody or not. You know, that's all it is, too, as far as I'm concerned. You make your choice. You want to be a murderer? Be a murderer. There's so many people out there that would gladly take. But anyway, that's a whole issue. I'm not going to get into it. I already got into it. Let's see if I get in trouble for it. Anyway, so you won't look at issues that matter. What is Bush's faith? You hear him say he's a born-again Christian. That's the only thing that you want to hear, is he says that. When you listen to his speeches, most of the time, it's just God. But when he's pointed to it, he says it, and he kind of says it kind of squeamishly, I'm a born-again Christian. And, well, this is a personal thing. No. You're born again. You're going to use this kind of title on you. You're more like hot for the Lord, as it were. You're not going to just kind of hide it back in the corner and say, you know, well, I am Christian after all. You know, I did have this personal kind of thing with me, you know. But anyway, so what do you do? So many of you believe him. Instead of going doing this kind of thing on your keyboard, when you see about Bush, you know, put NWO on there, like New World Order or something, so you can at least, because you get Bush and you have too many things, you know, you have too many millions and millions of pages, you're not going to find out any type of information about things that way. You narrow it down to search by putting certain kinds of keywords in there. You could put Bush, 33rd degree Mason, you could put Skull and Bones and put Bush's name there and stuff like that. Do you know what you find? You find documentation. You find people that just state it. You find all kinds of records of it. That he is a Skull and Bones Mason. 33rd. Then you have to say, what is a Mason anyway? Well, 33rd, that's the levels. There's publicly known there's only 33 levels. First few levels are like church. The first three levels is like church, you know. You, depending on where you are in the United States, it's like church. If you go to a Mason meeting and you're level one through three, you might as well be going to Sunday school or something, because it's going to seem like that, in a way. But once you go up to level four, you got to change who God is. And the increments on up to level 30, I think 30 is where you have to start believing that Lucifer did not fall, and so that he is actually God. And you will find out that if you're 33 degree Mason, then you don't believe, the way you believe in Jesus is the enemy. The way you think about Christians is Christians got to die. And that's what it's about. And how they go about it? Deception, trickery, sneakery, lies, all that kind of stuff. They will get you to work for them. You know, Bush really worked really good. Look what he did for you. He just said he was Christian. He was born again. And look at the extra votes he got. He just had to say, you know, I'm against gay. And then look at all the votes he gets. Real simple, little type of thing, but do you go in depth? Who cares what he's about the gay issue in this thing? What's more important, the gay issue or the God issue? Is it more important to vote somebody in office that's against gays, or is it more important to vote somebody in office that worships Satan? That's Lucifer unfallen. Well, people, you voted into office somebody that worships Satan, but they call him Lucifer because they don't believe that he had fallen. And if you check out the other people on his cabinet and so forth, you'll find out considerable. And like I said, Kerry is the same. This is a little contest. This is an experiment. They're buddies, you know. If we voted for Kerry, we would then the New World Order people would then know, because this is the experiment. They want to test the United States and the American citizen and where they're standing. You know, it's the best poll you can get. If you elect this president or that president, both are third to third degree Masons, both are skull and bones. Both then have the same goals. Both will go about it a little bit different, because one's going about it like we hear Kerry's talking. It sounds like, you know, it might be more peaceful. And Bush, you know, let's go get him, man. If you're not for us, you're against us. If the Democrats come on our side, then I'll be more than happy to help them, says Bush. And so, what happens if Bush wins? Then the New World Order knows that the United States of America and its citizens, there is enough of them that they will pat Bush on the back and say, go get him. And Bush can go out and start World War III. Look up Albert Pike and see if there is a chance for World War III and what World War III will be about. Albert Pike was, you know, a century and more ago, and before World War I, before World War II, and you can read what he said, that as Masons, what they need to do is to have three world wars. Because you have to get we entered into a time where we've got to get ready for the one world government. The rest of it is just setting up the stages to get all this power in the proper places. Then you have to get in to work with the people that are the most resistant, the people that won't go on because, you know, it's like a dictatorship and all that kind of stuff. You got to do some work on it. Everybody's team member. All the leaders are team members. Don't get this idea that somebody is our enemy and somebody is our friend or something. They're all friends. It is us that's the enemy. We're for the slaughter. It's us that can stop them from doing what they're doing. It's us that can help them make their one world government and get this one world dictator in there. And so each war was set up to do its particular thing into moving the world up into a certain position. This next third world war is going to start to deal in the spiritual area, as it were. It's going to deal with religions. People that would be a very big problem in the coming one world government, and that is namely Christians, Jews, atheists, and Muslims. exactly all the other religions are already 100% ready to go right into worshiping Antichrist. You know, their religions have been looking for this kind of guy. They're already expecting this kind of person to come in that is going to merge together all the religions. It's kind of a already done deal in the hearts of all the other religions. Generally speaking, it is not a far step for them. But it is an immense step for an atheist. An atheist don't believe anything. It's going to take quite a bit to get an atheist to be change his mind, you know. Jews, you know, you're going to change a Jew? That's not an easy project. It's Old Testament or nothing, you know, period. You ain't going to change the Jewish religion and faith. Muslim? They're out killing themselves right and left. You think you're going to change them? I mean, you got those particular groups of them. And if they can do that, then the rest of them all must have an awfully strong faith. They might not go out and do the suicide thing or agree with it, but it's as such that, you know, the general idea is Islam or no religion in the whole world. So it's going to be pretty hard to change a Muslim to worship Antichrist. And besides, you can find the creation of Islam when the Vatican did it. There's information out there that goes into detail exactly how a monk met Muhammad when he was a kid, and how they sent people to him, a relative that was a devout Catholic, to train him and explain to him the Quran that the Vatican wrote, and so forth and so on. You know, the information is there, but you can't change these people's mind. And then, of course, Christianity is really hard to change a Christian. Although, you know, there's lots of people that do, you know, because the sower, you know, the fulfillment of the parables of sowing the seeds. Some will fall on rocky ground, some on hard, shallow, dry ground, and some in good soil. And so, you know, we're living in a situation where finally we're going to see a literal fulfillment of parables. Well, that's what we're going to see, people, the literal fulfillment of the parables. Some things are going to start happening like never before, and you that love Jesus and come to Him and are all excited and praising God and on and on and on are suddenly going to not have the water that you used to have. And this means that you're going to have to, or, you know, your roots will dry up and you will wither away. The cares of the world will begin to look more important. This parables are about to happen. So there are going to be a lot of Christians that do fall away. And this last war is designed to make that happen all the quicker, because there's so many, if Christians are being attacked and hauled off to prison camps and stuff like that, and gone to slave labor and executed by the millions, and over done, been going through these re-education camps, it's going to take a toll. So things are going to happen. Now there's something else going to really happen here. And you could find this out. You know, if it's just one or two sources, it would be quackery, you know, conspiracy theorists, you know, how neat of a way to keep Christians away from any kind of knowledge or learning about what's about to happen. They call them, they're quacks, they're conspiracy theories or something like that, theorists. And so you don't even want to listen to them. You close your ears to them. It doesn't matter how, you could say, Bush is a 33rd degree Mason. Nah, he's a Christian. You know, and there's nothing you can do about it. You can't. You just won't move and find out what's going on here. Well, there is something going on. God is doing something, because so many Christians are going to start falling away, and something's going to be done about it. Now, God's got a purpose. You see, in 1967, in the gay community, God called Catholic gays. You know, He moved into the Catholic gay community. We got scripture that says that God's going to move in and gives shepherds, give pastors to the gay community. You may not believe that. It doesn't matter because you don't want to look into the gay community, see what's happening. And this started in 1967. The group called Dignity started up, so the Catholic gays now had a group and pastors which spread throughout the whole world over time. Then in 1968, you had the Protestant gays come along and got their pastors and so forth, and that church, NCC, spread all around the world. Then you had 1969, where secular gays had enough, and they began to secularly go for gay rights, politically, try to get laws, go to courts and all that. All the court type of system that you're seeing there is going through the secular gay that began in 1969. Now there's a problem with this picture. You had Catholic gays, you had Protestant gays, and you had secular gays, all activated. 1967, 1968, 1969. Where are the Pentecostal gays? The Pentecostal movement does mighty things. You get TBN out of it, Daystar. You get lots of types of mighty moves of God. You got healings, lay on hands and heal. You lay on hands and people are slain in the spirit. You got prophecy and spoken out and word of knowledge and all this kind of stuff. You can lay hands, raise somebody from the dead. All in the Pentecostal movement. And the Straits has a field day of this all this last century and going on to this century. But the Pentecostal gays believes the same types of thing, but they've resisted. They have set back. They've let their Protestant, non-Pentecostal gay brothers and sisters do the groundwork and the homework. They set back. And something's about to happen that's going to change all this. Something is about to happen, people. Gay people that are Pentecostals are going to be risen up. And right now, I'm telling you, any gay Pentecostal person listening to me right now, a movement is happening. God is lighting your fire. It's your turn. The non-Pentecostals, the Catholics, had their turn. The secular had their turn. They laid a good foundation. But now, the gay Pentecostals are going to show what Pentecostal means. And it's going to be rising up in ministries and healings. The people are going to see. It's going to be on television. They're going to move. You can hear about it. Gay Pentecostals, your fire's being lit. You feel that call. You feel that tug. Accept it. Rise up. Begin to move out. God has touched your heart for all these years, and you sat back and thought there's never anything. There is something happening in the gay Pentecostal Christian world. And when they begin to move, things are going to change. And we're right there. This is the hour. This is the day that gay Pentecostals are going to get ready to move. And what a day that will be. If you don't know Jesus, turn to him right now. Say, Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God and that God rose you on the third day. Come into my life and forgive my sins. A simple prayer like that will get you saved. And when you tell somebody, you know, I accepted Jesus. I believe he's the Son of God and God rose him on the third day. Get the Bible, the King James Bible. Hear me. King James Bible, these styles, all that stuff, it is from the received text of the 7th century. There's another version of the Bible I call Satan Counterfeit. It is from a manuscript of the 2nd century that's corrupt. Both were put into Latin Gate, Vulgate. One has become all the modern translations. The other one is King James Version. Read the King James Version and get ready. See you next week.